I want you to imagine now taking a drive on a warm summer night. Is that okay? Sure. I mean, it's been an easy winter so far, but, you know, something might be coming around the corner, we hear. So you're taking this drive on this warm summer night. It's evening. It's a rural community, a lot of woods on either side of the road. And all of a sudden, you come to a stoplight. And as you come to that stoplight, there's a light post. It's shining brightly. You don't think much, and all of a sudden, you're with your family, and a young child in the back says, "Ooh, disgusting. Look at the bugs and the dirt on the windshield. I can't even see. I think I'm going to vomit." All of a sudden, the light turns green again, and you know you better not touch that windshield wiper because you know you're low on fluid. And if you were to touch that, you'd have a bigger mess than you started out with. And so you continue on the drive. And then it gets pitch dark again. And all you do is you have your headlights. Then all of a sudden you hear from the back the child going, "Ah, that's better. The windshield is clean again." Aha, is it? No, it's not. We just went from the light to the dark, and it appears to be clean. Christmas is that special time for every one of us to come under the light, the bright light, the shining light, the purifying light of Christ. And it's in this time when we focus on Him. When we say He is the reason for the season, and we allow that Word who became a babe to show something, maybe in our hearts, something that's amiss, something that we're missing, maybe something dirty that's there. And He says, "I want to clean it. I want to clean it." And we know He does. We know He can. But then we're tempted to just get past Christmas. And maybe it'll all just be clear and clean again. And the reality is, it's not clear, it's not clean. We just passed from that light, from that opportunity, into darkness. Again, let this Christmas be different. Because our antenna is up. Our community, our culture, our country is in grief and in mourning. We're stunned. We're saying, "What is going on?" Our young ones, are they that hopeless? Are they that evil that they want to hurt themselves, want to hurt their parents, want to hurt young children in a school or strangers in a movie theater? What is going on? Why are we so dark? Why is the evil all around us? And God would say, evil has always been all around. And that's why I've come, and that's why a light shone in the midst of a dark and corrupt nation, even under Herod in that day over 2,000 years ago. A bright light came so humbly, and if all would look to Him, God says there can be change in the heart. And when I clean one heart, that heart can shine brightly to share with another how their heart was changed, and though it is. And that's why we're here today. Many in this room calling ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, Christ in us at Christmas, saying because the light has come alive inside. And now He repels that darkness as I continue to walk in that light. As we look at our text tonight, as you look at the title of the message tonight, it's Meet the Light. I want us to see five things about who Jesus is from the Gospel of John, these first 13 verses. As we do focus on Jesus and His birth and why He came, let the Word of God be that light that shines brightly, and that you might leave this place encouraged, with hope, with a message for someone else who may not have the hope that you have tonight in Christ, but is confused and is hurting and wants an answer and thinks the answer is something else, politically, spiritually, socially, maybe change the education system. But yet God would tell us, no, in the individuals and in the hopelessness of what would drive somebody to do such evil acts, Jesus says, I've come because I care and I can change that heart. If you would like to read along, I'm going to read the text from John chapter 1. In the back of your program, that text is included there. You can read along. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to break that out a little bit and share just six insights as to who Jesus is and how we might be encouraged to make sure that as that bright light of who He is shares into our hearts tonight, we don't just move forward, we stop. And we let Him do what He wants to do and needs to do. And maybe we agree with Him, and then we move on. John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and its own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Number one, if you want to follow along in your program, Jesus has a long history. We see this in the first verse. Jesus is pretty impressive. Coming in here today, maybe you're thinking about a baby in swaddling clothes in a manger, and there's cows there and there's animals there. He did once come that way, but Jesus has a greater history than that. Notice, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, eternity past, even before creation. Before the creation of this universe, the Word was. The Word is another name for Jesus. As you and I would read the Scripture, Old Testament promised about the Messiah many names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the New Testament, the Alpha, the Omega, the Vine, the Door, the Lamb of God. Many, many names. One of the names was the Word. What a name. God had something to say to you and me personally. He didn't want any mix-up of translation. And so He came Himself to speak, to share, to say, because He is personal. And He wanted you to hear something. Jesus was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Separate personality, distinct, yet fully united. Notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, you see it come up on the wall here. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. God did do that. He spoke in dreams, He spoke in visions, and He spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. Notice this. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Do you see Jesus in that? Many of us saying, I want to see God. I want to know God. God says, you cannot see me. I am so pure. I am so powerful. You cannot gaze on me and live. Moses knew that. God could pass by him, and Moses knew, I better not look. But God says, I want you to know me. I want you to see me. If you see Jesus, if you meet Jesus, if you know Jesus, you know everything you know you need to know about me until you're with me. And notice, Jesus is the Creator. You say, well, I thought God was the Creator. Jesus is God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Well, even in John's Gospel here, verse 1, he says, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And now when we look at Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And now notice verse 26 of Genesis 1. Then God said, notice this, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Notice the plural there. So God is saying, and He's speaking to who? Himself, the Father and the Son. The Bible would tell us that the Spirit was already hovering there as God was creating. And so He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So number one, Jesus has a long history. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is Lord. And when we gaze on Jesus, the things that make us fear, the things that make us confused, He can settle our hearts because He's stable in the midst of an unstable society and world. Number two, Jesus is not overcome by darkness, but He overcomes it. As we look back at John's Gospel in verse 4 of John 1, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Who doesn't want life? True vitality. Re-energized life. I made a huge mistake this afternoon. I had been ill for 4 or 5 days. And I started feeling better. And I was here with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Sean and I. We were doing some things this afternoon together. And I just felt better. And I said to myself, I want to get to the gym before the service tonight. And so I left the guys. We were doing an activity together. I didn't tell them why I was leaving, but I cut out. Now they understand. They're smiling. And I went to the gym. And I did my run on the elliptical. And if you know me, when I do something, I don't do just half speed. I got to go fast. And I was feeling good. And I did more miles than I should. My cool down time is really long. And it's really long, especially when I hadn't done it in a while. And it's really long when all of a sudden I started getting stressed because I'm going, uh-oh. And I had to get home, take a shower, get dressed. And I'm driving with my daughter. And I said, and she goes, Dad, are you nervous? Do you ever get nervous when you preach God's word? And I said, sweetie, I do every single time. She goes, really? I said, yeah. There's a tension. There's an anxiety and nervousness, but I just want to honor God. I want to do right. She goes, so is that why you're sweating? I said, no. No, that's something else. I'm still cooling down. And I had to explain to her that whole thing about how her daddy's body works. You see, when I want my body revitalized, I go to the gym. It's a stress reliever for me. I just feel better and I do my work and I feel better. Here, the Word of God is saying Jesus is our vitality. Jesus is a light that gives us life. He's the life of men. Many of us want life. We want a fulfilled life. Purpose, not just spinning. How many of us are even in this room? And we just felt like we've been spinning in this holiday season, this Christmas season. God says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Vital life, physically, spiritually, eternally. He in us makes us alive in a way that a light comes on. And you and I are enabled to see things and understand things about God, about ourselves, and about what's happening in the world that we otherwise would not know. Jesus is the only one who gives us that. There's no one else who can give us that life. That's why it's so vital to know Him and to walk with Him. Notice verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some translation says has not comprehended it, has not grabbed it, has not understood it. Ever since Jesus came into this world as a human being, darkness, whether it be governments in the first Herod, his government, other governments, other cultures, other false religions, even religions in the name of Christianity, have tried to suppress the truth about Christ alone. But they have not been able to overcome who Jesus is, because there's a remnant, there's always His people who share His truth, who live by that vital light. The light shines in the darkness and has not been able to overcome it. Those like me who once lived in spiritual darkness thought I knew, but I was so ignorant. Was a religious guy, yet still so ignorant. The person of Christ, the vitality of Christ, had nothing to do with any decision I made about life. I compartmentalized my faith. I was this, I was raised that, I'll always be that, and we got it, we're number one, and that's all I need to know. And I was wrong. And it was a humbling day, but a good day, when all of a sudden the light came on, the darkness was exposed, and I recognized I am empty. I am on in that hamster cage, I am going fast, but I have no idea where I'm going. I have no idea what it's all for, and I'm getting exhausted. This was 23 years ago. And He showed me some things, deep, dark, corrupt. And at the same time He showed me those things, because the light was on, and I didn't run. And He said, I'll cleanse, I'll clean, I'll give you life. And who would believe that? I believed it. There was a measure of faith enough in my heart to say, I surrender, please. And that light came on in my darkness. Jesus is not overcome by the darkness. Any hurt, anything done to you, Jesus says, I am a healer. I can restore. Whatever you're going through, whatever awaits you here tonight, whatever awaits you tomorrow, McCain. If you're John McCain and you're here, I'm not calling you out. In 2008, when he was running for president, he was asked by Time magazine when his faith became personal to him. And he went back and he talked about an experience he had in a Vietnamese war camp, taken as a prisoner of war. And he said what the soldiers would do every night before he would go to sleep, they would tie a rope around his neck and they would bound it to his ankles. And they would force him on his knees and they would pull until his head was between his legs, and that's how they expected him to sleep. He says he was in intense pain every single night. And he said in about the third or fourth night when this occurred, all of a sudden the door of the cell that he was in opened and one of the Viet Cong soldiers came in, didn't say anything to him, just went like this and loosened the rope. Enough to where he could sleep comfortably. And this happened night after night after night for months. The same routine. This guard who had night duty. And then Christmas Day, one particular year when he was still in that prisoner of war camp, when he was out on the base and they had some free time, he and the other prisoners, that same guard came up, didn't say a word, but came close enough and with his sandal simply made the outline of a cross and just stood and looked. And McCain stood and looked. And after a few moments, the guard just went over and crossed it over. And McCain realized, even in the midst of his greatest darkness, Jesus could show and bring some light. No matter what you're in the midst of, Jesus is saying, I'm there for you. I can lead you. I can carry you. I will give you hope. Thirdly, Jesus has always had His witnesses. You probably are one in this room. Maybe you've met one. Maybe you need to meet one. There might be a few here who are willing to share with you how they were blind and now they see spiritually. They were lost and Jesus Christ found them and they now have life. Notice with me in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this is John the Baptist, of course. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. Notice the reoccurring theme of the light, the light, the light. That all might believe through him. John was coming as a spokesman, a herald. He was commissioned as a personal forerunner to share what he had seen and what he had been told. God stopped speaking to his people Israel for over 400 years because of their rebellion, because of their disobedience. The prophet stopped. God no longer sent one. And so what Israel did, they developed their own kind of rabbinic religion. Because every one of us is created with a vacuum, a hole, wanting to worship God. And because we don't hear from Him, or we don't see Him, or we're not seeking with all our heart the one true God, we'll worship just about anything. And they did. But then all of a sudden, God commissioned John and said, go prepare the way. And John did that. We see in verse 8, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You see, John was just a lamp. Jesus was the bulb. Jesus was the light. You and I, Christians today, we are just the lamps. And how many lumens or how many watts we project the true Christ is all dependent on what we're plugged into. Is Christ really the one we're abiding in? Does he have first place in our heart? If he does, even in the midst of our woe, even in the midst of the trial and the difficulty, whether it's personally, financially, our health, our kids, maybe it's the loneliness we might be in right now, the worry about work, Jesus will just give you that hope and to say, I'm with you. In this world, you will have many troubles and trials, but take heart. I have overcome the world and I will lead you through this time. And we know it. And we respond differently in those difficult times because our stability and the one we're plugged into is Christ. And He says, and this is not your home and I'm taking you through. And you know you're going to be okay. And I can use you and I can use this time right now to bring glory to me, to show others the light. If He's number one, if we will follow Him and we don't determine, well, this is how I will. I'll do this, but not this. But we say, Jesus, whatever you say, your Lord, your Savior. You see, that's what Christmas is about. To take us back to that light and let nothing be unhindered. Everything that He wants to show us, to say, Lord, yes, I do away with anything that you're exposing on the windshield of this life. You're the cleaner. Clean it. I'll move forward. Number 4, Jesus is beyond bright. And here's the truth. People are either drawn to that bright light or they flee it. They're drawn to Christ or they flee Christ. Notice, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. That one who had already existed, God from all eternity past, was about to take on humanity. Literally, He was becoming flesh and blood. Dependent, vulnerable, experience all what you and I experience. He was tired. He was hungry. He grieved. He had sorrow. He experienced pain, physical pain, heart pain. The pain of rejection, the pain of denial, the pain of misunderstanding, the pain of being slandered and lied about and cheated. He experienced it all. No sugarcoating. And as that light, which enlightens everyone, because He loves us so much, He says, I can't water it down. I got to share with you the truth. Before you grasp the good news, you got to understand the bad news. It's not everything and everyone else around you. It's something inside your own heart. Let me in and show you in your own heart. I can burn that up. I can burn that out and not singe you, but I can make you new. People draw near or they flee. You would expect a 274 million stainless steel building to shine brightly in the sun. Well, that's exactly what the Walt Disney Concert Hall does in Los Angeles. That building shines so brightly, especially around the noon and 1 o'clock hour, that the condo that's right across the street from it, when the sun hits that stainless steel into those windows, folks have to flee their balconies. They have to shut down their shades. They've got to crank up the air conditioning because their places become 20 degrees hotter while the sun is hitting that stainless steel and going into their places of residence. Walt Disney, which has built a concert hall, is trying to figure out what to do about it. In the interim, they've taken this mesh and they've draped it over this beautiful building so it dulls a little bit the glare of the sun. It looks hideous. Even the neighbors say it looks hideous. But right now, it's helping reduce the heat. You know, sometimes we do that. Somebody will share something about the truth, about God, about Christ. Maybe we can be in a service such as tonight and hear something. And it's God speaking to us. And there's an opportunity. And we might be saying, well, I just want to put a mesh over, but I don't want to deal with that now. God says there's no better time than the right now. Let me penetrate. Let me give you hope. Let me share with you life. Let's not cover that up. Number five, as we come to just two more, Jesus has a list of hurts and rejections, and he identifies with you and I. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. See, this is more than just a lack of intellectual recognition, but this was a deliberate, willful rejection of the one that every single one of us needs. A person saying, I don't want to acknowledge. I don't want to yield. He's saying, I come. You see, even his own people had their own idea of what kind of savior they wanted. They wanted a political, a military savior to give them a better life here on this earth. And Jesus came to be a different kind of savior. He said, I want to give you a better life for all eternity. And it can start here on this earth. But you need a new heart. You see, God's holy. He wants to be in a relationship with you and I. And he says, to make you my child, you're already my creation. To make you my child, you need a new heart. And Christ says, that's what I've come to do. And so many that he would come to reject him. Maybe here tonight. You have, and I know many of you have, just in this last year, have you've turned to him for the first time. And you're in your 20s. Some of you in your 30s. Some of you in your 70s. This is the first year that you are personally walking with Christ as Savior. And I celebrate that. I marvel at that. Until I think about my own journey and what God did in the life of a 29-year-old man and made me different. So I'm thankful he's still doing it. Jesus says, or about Jesus in the last section, if you're following along in your outline, that Jesus has come to restore us to his Father, and the invitation is still open. Notice verse 12. You see, there's many who turn from him, but there are many who don't. But to all who did receive him, to those who opened the door, who welcome, who invite him in personally, who believed in his name, you see, the significance of Jesus' name is he's God's salvation. He's God's bridge. It's not what we ourselves think we how we can get to God. It's not through our faithful practices of a religion that we pursue with all of our heart. But God says, I came at Christmas. I came in this season to be the bridge. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice who gives the right to become a child of God. It's the Father himself. He says, I'm wanting to gather a family. You are my creation. I want you to be my child. Christ is the bridge. He's the answer. He's the one who makes it all right and okay. Turn to Him. None of us has a special entry card just because of whatever title we might hold, whatever family we were raised in, however faithful and devoted we are to whatever we believe, except if it's Christ alone. Notice verse 13. He gave the right to become children of God. Notice what does not give us that right. Who were born not of blood. In other words, it's not our heritage or our bloodline or our upbringing, nor of the will of the flesh. We can't reason in our dulled heart saying, tomorrow, you know what, I'm going to do this. Good word, John. Thanks for that info. Tomorrow I'll take care of that. God says it doesn't happen that way. God says there's a knock on the door of the heart. It's called conviction. The Spirit of God moves in ways that only He can understand. And in that moment, if you feel that knock, you feel that prick, God's saying, that's me. Do you hear that? God says, that's me knocking on the door of your heart. Are you willing to open that door? Then notice He says, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's nobody who's sitting next to you, at home praying for you, a child, a spouse, a parent, a friend, because they in their heart will it so bad for any one of us in this room to know God personally through Jesus Christ that it's going to happen. That's not how it happens. If so, then there's so many who would be in God's kingdom, not because they had faith, but because of a devoted family member who had faith. Each one of us personally has that opportunity to receive Christ. How about you tonight? Notice in the back bottom of your program, notice here on the screen this invitation by Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. He's talking about personally. He's talking about your heart. He's saying, if you hear my voice, remember the Word became flesh. The words I've shared with you tonight, they're His words. God's word for you personally. And if you've made that commitment, if you opened up that door, then there's an affirmation in your heart. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you for the refresher here at Christmas. The King of the universe, the first and the last, He's my Savior. But maybe for some of us, we've never made that commitment. We've never made that surrender. We're confused. We battle. Maybe it's pride. Maybe we're wondering, what will I become? You become a child of God. You will become at one with God. You will have a hope. You will have one who will lead you. And He will lead you beside still waters and to green pasture in the midst of difficulties and tragedy and evil in our world. That's what you give up the other, and that's what you gain. You gain God, but you gain forgiveness, because that's what keeps us from God. Each of us has a blot. Each of us has sinned. We're separated from God personally. And Jesus went to a cross to pay a penalty that you and I could not pay. And so, yes, Christmas is the beginning. Easter is the victorious end. How about you? Have you ever come to Him and just said, yes, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus as my Savior. And turn to Him. God says, by faith, you then enter in and He's yours. I'll close with this simple story. It's a family who had a cleaning company, and they figured out and came up with a concoction that could identify, forgive me, but dried up urine in homes of people who had pets. And they would shine out their chemical, and they would put on a black light, and the urine crystals that were dried up would show up all over the home, in the carpet, on the drapes, in the bed. And when the technicians would come into that home and spray their chemical and turn on the black light, people would scream and shriek and say, please shut off the light. I can't even stay in my house anymore. Well, the family said, we didn't do that to just get people all disgusted. We did that to show them that there really is some filth in their house. But we're offering a solution. We could clean it for them. You know, God is telling us, He has said, you know, I've come. I'm shining as a bright light. He's the genuine light. He's an authentic light. The real article. He shines brightly. So bright that there's things exposed in our heart, things from our past that have hindered us, have handicapped us to being right with God. And we think that if we bring that up, we're done for. That we will collapse again. And God says, no. I know all about it. Jesus came. He's the bright light. He's exposing that right now so that you can simply agree and confess and say, yes, Lord, that's my problem. That's my hurt. That's my vengeance. That's my malice. That's my unforgiveness. That's my sin. And I'm believing that Christ washes. He cleanses. He just doesn't expose, but He cleans up. And I need Him to clean me up. Please turn to Christ if you've never turned to Christ. And invite Him to come into your life and to say, yes, light, bright light, beaming light, one true light, light of the world, come into this dark heart and make me new. And He will. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank You that at this Christmas in 2012, in the midst of instability, You are always stable. I'm thankful, Lord, that we have a solid word, the word of God spoken. Yes, given and written by men, but Lord, every word was breathed by You so that we might know how to have a relationship with You, how to be reconciled, how to live with one another. God, we thank You in this Christmas season and in the stillness and the quietness, even as we go and we light candles and we think about a light, that it's Jesus we think about. It's Him we focus on, and we have an opportunity. And so, Lord, we take hold of that opportunity. Each precious heart created by You, each precious heart whom we know You desire to be Your child. Many are in this room. Thank You for that grace. Thank You for that measure of faith to even believe. And if there's somebody who's not, maybe tonight is that night. We celebrate with You and all the angels in heaven for that one who has turned away and turned to You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.